The Escape Pod. Let's go on a trip through time to see what tomorrow looked like yesterday.
Preparing escape pod for war.
Today was yesterday's tomorrow. Where we are now used to be the unimaginable future. And today's outdated entertainment used to be yesterday's state of the art.
Power.
Sifting through science fact and science fiction, from outdated technology to the birth of the future. Let's get away from it all for a few minutes by going back the way we came in the logbook.com's Escape Pod. I'm Earl Green, and I'll be your guide through the fantastic, the futuristic, and the unmistakably geeky. This is what tomorrow looked like yesterday. On this day in 1877, Deimos, the smallest of the two moons of Mars, was discovered by telescope. In 1960, NASA launched the experimental communications satellite Echo 1 into orbit. It was one of the earliest communications satellites, and it had no power source, batteries, or even transmitters or receivers. Was a giant Mylar balloon that would simply reflect signals back to Earth. Echo 1 was in orbit for 4 months.
An experiment known by its code name as Project Echo. In a few minutes, if things go right, Holmdel will communicate by telephone in a brand new way, by routing the call through outer space to Goldstone, California, 2,300 miles away, where scientists of the Jet Propulsion Lab are waiting. This call will be bounced off a man-made satellite. If it works, it will be the first time voice has traveled from the Earth up to a man-made moon and back to Earth again. This is the satellite, a huge empty balloon, here shown while still in its hangar. The inflated balloon is 10 stories high, made of a strong, new, aluminized plastic. Strong, yet only half as thick as the cellophane around a package of cigarettes. Its aluminum coating gives it nearly 100% reflectivity. That balloon will soon be hurtling across the sky, 1,000 miles high over North America.
In 1962, a day after launching Vostok 3, the Soviet Union scored a space first by putting a second manned spacecraft in orbit at the same time. Cosmonaut Pavel Popovich was launched aboard Vostok 4, though this was more of a technical demonstration than a demonstration of any practical space feat. The vehicles couldn't rendezvous or dock, but the tandem flight did prove the ground controllers could handle more than one simultaneous mission. In 1977, far more practical engineering tests were on the minds of NASA engineers, as Space Shuttle Enterprise took to the air for the first time, dropped off the back of a Boeing 747, with just 5 minutes to land at Edwards Air Force Base.
Houston is go for step, have a great flight.
They're cleared to separate.
Power. Launch ready.
Take one step.
They go. They have separation.
Phase two clear. Okay, we got a GPC light, lost the sync on two, pushing over. And a big X on computer number two.
Roger, standby and halt on GPC number two. Go for mode 203.
Roger. Okay, how's the energy look, Houston? I'm showing maybe a little high.
With no engines of its own, Enterprise had only one shot at a safe landing.
Enterprise, we now recommend 50% speed brakes.
10,285. Speed brakes looking good, Fredo. Gator open about 45 now.
Houston, copy.
Apollo 13 astronaut Fred Hayes and astronaut Gordon Fullerton guided Enterprise to a smooth landing on Edwards Dry Lake Bed runway, proving that the space shuttle could glide its way back to Earth after re-entry and land like an airliner.
Doors open and they're all down, coming down. Look down here. 50 feet. 40 feet. 30. 20. 15. 10. Holding 10. 220 about 5 feet. 4 feet. Getting some thrust, 4 feet, 3 feet, 2 feet. Just over off about 2 feet. You're on. Okay, your nose wheel's about 10 feet. About 5. 4 feet, about 5 feet. 4, 3, 2, 1. We'll see you, babe. Okay, great.
Touchdown at 54 minutes, 5 seconds past the hour.
A very successful first flight for the space shuttle Enterprise.
Enterprise was dropped off of the Boeing 747 four more times before the end of 1977, each time landing safely. Born on this day in 1887, physicist Edwin Schrödinger, one of the major players in the development of quantum mechanics, and not a friend to cats. Jane Wyatt was born on this day in 1910. In addition to co-starring in Father Knows Best, she played the part of Spock's mother, Amanda, in the original Star Trek.
And you, Sarek, would you also say thank you to your son?
I don't understand.
For saving your life.
Spock acted in the only logical manner open to him. One does not thank logic, Amanda.
Logic! Logic! I'm sick to death of logic. Do you want to know how I feel about your logic?
Emotional, isn't she?
She has always been that way.
Indeed. Why did you marry her?
At the time, it seemed the logical thing to do.
Actor Sam J. Jones was born in 1954. To many, he is still the big screen face of Flash Gordon. Maybe not the voice, but definitely the face.
Who are you?
Flash Gordon. Quarterback, New York Jets.
Pathetic earthlings. Hurling your bodies out into the void. Without the slightest inkling of who or what is out here.
Born in 1956, actor Bruce Greenwood, the star of Nowhere Man, and more recently seen in J.J. Abrams' Star Trek movies as Captain Christopher Pike.
My name is Thomas Vale, or at least it was. I'm a photographer. I had it all. A wife, Allison, friends, a career. And in one moment, it was all taken away. All because of a single photograph. I have it. They want it. And they will do anything to get the negative. I'm keeping this diary as proof that these events are real. I know they are.
Charles Measure, who appeared in the remake of V, Xena Warrior Princess, Lost, Hercules The Legendary Journeys, and Bones, was born today in 1970. And on this day in 1981, IBM rebooted the world as it rolled out the heavy gray computer known as Model 5150. The IBM personal computer.
An IBM PC can run the latest, most powerful programs and give you almost unlimited expandability with options like the new IBM printers and the IBM PC network. And today, prices are better than ever. IBM personal computers, see them at a store near you or call your IBM representative.
You can read about these events and many more on the logbook.com's ever-evolving timeline of geek history. TheLogbook.com's podcasts and video productions are entirely listener, viewer, and reader supported, and there's more than just the escape pod. There's Retrogram, where you pick a week between 1970 and 1990 to reassess all of that week's sci-fi, horror, superhero, and fantasy shows. There's Select Game, Expanded Memories of the Odyssey 2, covering one of the great overlooked classic video game systems. There are the frequent Phosphor.Fossils YouTube videos, each one revisiting classic arcade, computer, and home video games from the 70s through the 90s. And there are the Logbook.com's original books and ebooks, and much more. You can find ebooks or anything you might want to order from online vendors such as Amazon or eBay at thelogbook.com/store. Our original designs can be found on everything from t-shirts to socks to shower curtains to non-medical grade face masks at thelogbook.redbubble.com. You can support The Logbook on an ongoing basis at patreon.com/thelogbook or at ko-fi, that's ko-fi.com/thelogbook. You can also help us out by subscribing to CBS All Access or Amazon Prime through the ads you'll find on nearly any page on thelogbook.com. Thanks for listening to The Escape Pod.
Commencing escape pod landing procedure. The logbook of your escape pod was written and produced by Earl Payne.